Chapter 8, Verse 3 of the Bhagavad Gita.
We can now start with the answer. We may not be able to do too much, but whatever we can cover today, and then the second part we'll cover next week. So, the third verse. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Aksharam Brahma Paramam.
Aksharam Brahma Paramam.
Svabhavo Dhyatmam Ujjate.
Svabhavo Dhyatmam Ujjate.
Bhuta Bhavo Dhavakaraha.
Bhuta Bhavo Dhavakaraha.
Visarga Karma Sangitaha. Shri Bhagavan Uvach. Shri Bhagavan means the Lord. So the Lord said, the Lord replied, the teacher replies. He beautifully answers all his seven questions. Aksharam Brahma Paramam. So he asked the first question, who is Brahma? So Brahma Paramam, the highest, the reality, the Lord of this whole universe is Aksharam. He is imperishable, indestructible. And we'll explain each term as later on. Svabhava adhyatmam ucchate, and his nature is adhyatma. Svabhava means nature, adhyatma ucchate. It is called adhyatma. Adhyatma means the self, the Lord within the self, that is his nature. And what is karma? Bhuta bhava udbhava karaha. Udbhava kara means the bhuta. And what is his nature? Bhuta. What is the nature of karma? Bhava means bhuta udbhava kara visarga. Visarga means the creation. Visarga means creation. So bhuta udbhava kara. So when the beings are created, the creative force, karma sangitaha, it is called karma. So he is imperishable Brahman, all pervading. He is indestructible. The self is his nature, the self. And what is karma? It is the creative force that creates this entire universe. So what is this indestructible, imperishable Brahman? What is his nature? They say that the world is pervaded by this consciousness. He is everywhere. He is there in every cell of my body. My eyes can see because of him. My ears can listen. My mouth can talk. Whatever good or bad I do is because of the Lord's presence. And that presence of the Lord is indestructible. All the scriptures say that God was there before the earth was created. He was always there. Then he created the earth. You know, the Bible, he says he created it in 7 days. And on the day of judgment, the whole universe will end with a deluge. And then people will be judged. Same way the Upanishads say that this. The Upanishads say that in a same way that the world was created. And then he himself entered it. But he is imperishable. The world is being born, is living, is dying. Like I am, I was born a few years ago. I am living now. A few years later, I will not be here. But I am being born and sustained and died. But the Lord, the sustainer, the consciousness is imperishable. Nothing happens to that consciousness. The consciousness is ever present. And it is in the presence of consciousness that this body is being created, has been created by, you know, by my parents. And then I'm living now. And then a few years later, I'll be gone. But that consciousness will remain. In all the scriptures, they talk about the example is like the ocean. You know, the best example is the ocean. Now, the ocean is permanent, was there, is there, and will be there. The waves arise temporarily. The wave arises for a short while, you know, moves around and then goes a little further and dies. Of course, the wave only lives for maybe half a minute or a minute. But the concept is the same, that from the ocean the wave emerged, stayed for a while, and then died. And there are thousands and millions of waves constantly arising, living for a while and dying. Yeah, the waves live for half a minute or a minute, and we live for 80 years or 90 years or 100. It's the same thing in the time of the total creation, where the Lord is billions and millions and trillions of years where this earth was, and even before that he was there. The life of 80 years is nothing. It's just like half a minute. This reminds me of a little joke. Person met God. I think I told it in the Thursday class. Most of the people are new, so I can tell it. So this person happened to meet God and says, God, I need something. So God says, what? What do you need? She says, God, I understand that for you, a million years is like 1 second. Said, yeah. God said, yeah, in my world, a million years is like 1 second, is nothing. So he says, yeah, that's true. Million years is like 1 second. He said, okay, and also for you, you are so powerful. $1 million is nothing. It's just like a cent for you, right? $1 million is like a cent. God says, yeah, $1 million is nothing for me. It's like a cent. So he says, God, can I please have 1 cent? So God says, yeah, but you have to wait 1 second. So the idea is that, you know, in the whole essence of this creation, this universe is just there for a short while. So similarly, the ocean is permanent, is aksharam, is indestructible. The waves rise and fall. The waves rise and die. Of course, you know, if you look at the whole creation, but from a wave perspective, the ocean is permanent. It's aksharam. It is imperishable. But the waves are born and created and die. So in the presence of the ocean is required for the waves to be created. So the Lord or the consciousness is the imperishable essence in which this whole universe emerges. And the wave is all nothing but the ocean. So similarly, we all are that essence, which we'll talk about a little more later. Svabhavo adhyatmam uchyate. And the self, the Lord within. You see, there is God everywhere, right? But there is God in my heart too. Here we have signified as Om. It is the Lord's presence in my heart because of which I am able to walk, talk. And that one Lord is not that God in me is separate from God in him and her and her and her. It's not that a Hindu has a different God and a Muslim. Yeah, we may call him by different names, but the Lord within is the one and the same. You may call him Allah or Father in heaven or Krishna or Jesus or Buddha or Shiva. It doesn't matter. But the essential life principle is the same in all of us, not only in all humans, but it is there in plants, in all animals, in all birds, all fish. That's why most of our scriptures preach non-violence, that one should not be unnecessarily practicing violence on animals, birds, fish, even plants, just destroying plants or killing animals, you know. So why? Because the Lord is there in them too. And just as I feel pain when I am hurt, similarly, an animal feels pain or a bird feels pain. So non-violence is the essential creed of all the scripture. That's why even Jesus said, you know, what's that? Treat your neighbor, love thy neighbor as thyself. So the idea is that the neighbor, he didn't say love thy Christian neighbor as thyself. He said love thy neighbor, whoever it may be Hindu, maybe Muslim, maybe Christian, maybe anybody. So the idea is that the Lord that is in me is the Lord in everybody. And it is the part of that same infinite Brahman, the consciousness that is there everywhere. It is there in the fan, it is there in space, it is there in the ground, it is also there in my heart. And the beauty of this message is that having known this Lord within, they say you don't need to go far to find God. You don't need to go to Bethlehem or Mecca or Kailash. Yeah, if you go to these spiritual places, there is a lot of benefit because they are places of pilgrimage. And of course, you go to the temple or the church or the mosque, you feel a lot of peace because everybody is worshipping and the Lord is there. But if you really want to find him, look within. Kabir Das Ji says, Mohik, moko kaha dunde re bande, main to tere paas mein. I am closest to you. Why are you searching for me everywhere? Na main mandir, na main masjid, na kaabe kailash mein. I'm not in the temple, I'm not in the mosque, I'm not in Bethlehem, I'm not in Kailash, Kaaba, I'm not in Mecca, I'm in your heart. Look within and you shall find me. So the idea is that once you discover the Lord within as my true self, then it becomes very easy to see him everywhere. And that's why these saints could see God in every being and they loved everybody. Why? Because they had realized the God within. So they say, when something is in your pocket, why are you searching for it in the whole house? You know, sometimes you have accidentally a key in your pocket or a pen or something and you don't know. And you search everywhere and finally you say, oh my gosh, I'm so stupid. It was in my pocket all along. I'm sure it's happened to all of us. It's happened to me many times. But the idea is that we have something with us and we are searching for him everywhere. Where is God? Who is God? Have you seen God? He is with you at all times. So he says, Adhyatmam Uchyate, he is called as your own true nature. And he is within you. Look within. You know, there is another beautiful saint. He said, Pehle aap pehchano re sadho. Pehle aap pehchano. Know yourself first. Why are you spending so much time in knowing everything else in the world? You know, we spend so much time. What's happening in, you know, Iraq? What's happening in Middle East? What's happening in Africa? What's happening in my neighbor's house? What's gossip in that person? Who is doing what to whom? What's happening to the film stars? All these magazines and TV. So much useless stuff is there. You know, all this life and scandals of these films. And we waste so much time. Oh my God, what is Britney Spears doing? And what, you know? And so much time is wasted. And for Indians, you know, what is Kareena Kapoor doing? And Shah Rukh Khan, Salman Khan. So much time we waste on these useless things. Learn about who you are. Spend time in learning about yourself. Why waste? I'm not saying that one shouldn't read newspapers or watch the internet. But limit your time and spend some time in self-pursuit. In self-knowledge that who am I? Why am I on this earth? Why has God created me? What is my purpose in life? What is the whole goal of human existence? And what have these great masters and spiritual teachers written and left for me? Let me study that. Let me apply that. Let me practice that so that I may also become like them. That's why I said in the second chapter of the Gita, he gives us the ideal, sthita prajna lakshanani. What is the sthita prajna, the person who is established in the truth? How does he or she live in the world? And like, suppose a person is reading a book of physics, he will first of all read about Einstein, that how was Einstein, what was his knowledge, and he will then be inspired. You know, a student playing basketball, he will get a video of Michael Jordan or Kobe. How does he shoot the ball? How does he run? How does he train himself? How does he get in shape? Why? Because he wants to be the next Michael Jordan, he wants to be the next Kobe, he wants to be the next Magic Johnson. So I have to look at these lives of these saints and try to become like them. So that is the purpose. So they said, spend your time in knowing yourself and spend less time in knowing others. So Swabhava Adhyatma Uchyate, and his nature is the Lord within. That is the Lord. And then what is karma? You know, action. So we think of action as anything that we do is action, which is true. Anything I do, like I'm moving my hand, that is karma. I'm speaking, that is karma. I know it's going on long, but it will end shortly, so don't worry. But whatever we are talking, doing, we take it as karma. But the Lord says what his definition of karma is, creative activities. The true karma, yes, we are doing all kind of action, but if the true karma, the true activity is when you create something new. When you create something good. Now if I go and make dirty a house or throw junk all over, yeah, that is action, but that is not karma according to the teacher. The only activity worth doing is where you are doing something new, creating something new, doing something new. You say, how about destructive activity? Well, destructive activity can be bad, where if you go hurt somebody or kill somebody. But if you are doing destruction to create something new, then that is also karma. So how can that be? How can I destroy it? It's like the example is like a sculptor. Now he gets this big piece of stone. And in his mind, he has this image of this beautiful girl, you know, very pretty girl there with, you know, with all that, and wearing a nice dress and, you know, all that, and her nice jewelry and all. And he has to make it all out of that one big piece of stone. So he takes a chisel and hammer and starts breaking and destroying parts of the stone. And then what is left over, that is the sculptor's beauty. He can imagine that beautiful girl and he can create that out of that stone. So that is a destruction where he is destroying part of the stone. But out of that, he's creating a beautiful new sculpture, which then you can go, wow, you know, this artist was so great. He was so wonderful. Look at this. It looks like this girl is going to talk to me. She looks that real. So that kind of an activity where there is some destruction, but the idea is that from that destruction will come out a new creation. And we find in the world, there is constant destruction and creation, like the seed in the ground. Seed has to die for the plant to come out. Then there is a flower on the plant. Now the flower has to die for the fruit to be created, right? The flower cannot live and then say, oh, I'm going to become a fruit. The flower dies so that the fruit may be created. Now my childhood died for my youth to be born. Youth dies for the young man dies for the middle age dies for the old. So there is constant change, constant, you know, change. So the Lord says that the creative force which creates this world, and Visarga at the time of creation, when the whole universe was created, and any beings who are doing a new activity, you know, creative, that is called karma. So again, it does not mean that one should not take care of my family or take care of my things, but the idea is that I should try and do new things, learn new things, you know, learn. And like ignorance. Now, ignorance has to die before knowledge can arise. Like I did not know, you know, anything about the Bhagavad Gita, but then with the grace of Swami Chinmayananda, my ignorance of the Bhagavad Gita died and I now know a little bit about it. So anything where you are learning new things and you are sharing with others and helping and making this world, even when you are, say, cleaning your house or cleaning the neighborhood, you're doing something new, you are creating something, you're helping somebody who is suffering, you know, get removing his suffering and creating joy in that person. So anything where you are creating something good, not where you are creating suffering, you know, somebody's happy and you go slap him and you have created suffering. Now that's not karma. You have created something, but you have created something horrible. So where you create something good, something new, and help others, that is called karma. That is karma sanghita. So that is the so far, so we have covered three. What is Brahma? The imperishable Lord. His presence in my heart is called adhyatma. And karma is the creative force which creates this world. Now, these other three. And then the seventh question, what happens to a person at the time of death, we'll be covering in the next week and the next few weeks. We have about 5 minutes, if anybody has any question, go ahead.
What's the theory about killing flies?
Actually, I think if a fly is in your house and spreading disease, it should be killed. You know, if your house is full of ants or full of cockroaches or full of mosquitoes, but if a fly is just flying, you know, just in your car and not bothering, you can open the window and let the fly go out. But I believe that if it's in my house and spreading disease, because the fly will sit on some dirt and then go and then sit on the food, and then I eat that food, I'll get sick. And a lot of diseases are spread by flies, you know, cholera and dengue and all. So yeah, it's okay to kill flies. Again, but while killing, one should not have a violence in the mind. One should still apologize to the Lord. Oh Lord, you are the one who has created this fly, and I'm forced to kill. Like if you have your whole house, you know, we're living on an ant hill in Bakersfield, and sometimes ants just flood your house if you have something sweet. Now you cannot say, you know, I have to be non-violent like Mahatma Gandhi and let the, you know, ants live in peace and I live in peace. They will take over your house, and so you have to bring the ant raid or call somebody, you know, Clark Pest Control or whoever to get it. And so when I'm killing the ants, I should not have a violent attitude. I should have ask for the Lord's forgiveness and then do that. But yeah, you have to. You don't have a choice.
I think killing for a purpose, which is good,
happening is good. And if you look at this one also, Gita at the end, Arjuna is going to fight and kill people. So it's not killing per se is bad. It's right. The purpose that you're killing for. When bad things come in the way of good things.
Right. The attitude. Yeah.
So you mean non-vegetarianism is okay?
No, non-vegetarian is not okay because there you are killing a being for your pleasure when vegetables are available. That's what the Hindus believe, that when you are killing an animal for your pleasure, for your taste. Yeah, but the plants have, I agree with you, but the plants have less of a life. See, and we need, you know, we need something to sustain ourselves. We need something to live. So they say eat the lowest level of being. Because the plants have life, but they do not have as much consciousness as when you're cutting a chicken's neck, you know, when they describe how in that they just chop off the neck and they make them bleed to death, you know, when the rooster's neck is cut and the blood runs on the ground. And the rooster feels a lot more pain. I'm sure the plant feels pain too, but I think the plant has a lower level of intellect. And to survive, you know, because ultimately I have to live and I have to realize God. See, and the only way I can, even the saints had to eat, and so they ate plants, but they did not eat animals. So I think non-vegetarianism is in my opinion, is a negative karma. Yeah, suppose you are stuck in the desert and you have nothing else to eat and you're going to die, and that is, you know, the rare exception. But in my opinion, non-vegetarianism is violence.
One more question. You said all the good things around you, the beauty around you, God is in it. So who creates the ugliness?
Okay, that is the question is that the God gives the power to you whether you want to do good or bad. It's like the petrol. We have given that example before. You have gasoline in your car, right? Now you can take the gasoline and drive to the temple, or you can take the gasoline and drive to the bar and get drunk, or you can take the gasoline and drive to a house of prostitution and indulge in that, right? So man can do all three things. He can go to the temple, he can go to the bar, he can go to the prostitute. Now the gasoline gave him the power to go. Now where does he go? It is his choice. The man has a choice. So similarly, the Lord is the power within that has given me the choice to do good or bad. And I can do good with that or I can do bad. So the bad is created by humans. The bad is created because humans have been given. See, an animal or a cat or a dog has no choice. Like I have even talked before, a lion cannot say, from tomorrow I'm going to become a vegetarian lion, eat fruits and vegetables and love all the deer. He can't. It is his nature to kill. And so he does not indulge, he does not get any bad karma when he kills a deer. And interestingly, the lion will kill a deer and then won't. It's not that if there are 3-4 deers running, he will kill them all and keep them for his future. He'll kill one, eat it until his hunger is satisfied, and a week later when he's hungry again. It's only human beings that we keep on collecting for the future, and I have enough money but I have to worry about my retirement and my children's wedding and my children when they grow up and their retirement, and you know, we keep on accumulating. So that is, so the negative is because we have misused the power that has been given to us.
There is other explanation of food. It's the vegetarian food gives you a calmness and peace in your life, and it's much more better for the spiritual studies and be at peace. Your mind remains at peace.
More sattvic.
Sattvic is a word, but the idea is to your mind stays more peaceful and you're more calm, so you can do things much better, especially for spiritual studies. But people who are in a executive places, people who have to go to war and fight, the sportsman who has to physical do, they are allowed to eat meat. So it's not a sin to eat meat, but it is the why you are eating that's important. Again, the purpose why you're doing things. So Kshatriyas are allowed to eat meat. Because if they don't eat meat, they would not have that strength to fight and the vigor to fight. So if you want to be peaceful and, you know, very kind of, but nothing agitates you and you are at peace all the time, that makes you amenable for spiritual studies, makes more happier life, that kind of thing. So I'm not totally saying that meat is and for all human beings. Also, it depends on where you live. If you live in Alaska or somewhere, you probably get a lot of vegetables. Now, of course, with communication, everything is available everywhere. But again, if you, I mean, there's a story of American Indian boy and a Caucasian boy. They were going through the forest one time. It was snowing very heavy. They ran out of their food, and they had to take a shelter in some hut somewhere. And this Caucasian boy was getting anxious because they need some food. We'll be hungry soon. And there's a deer who comes there. And he said, let's kill him because we'll be hungry. We'll need something for tomorrow. The American Indian boy says, no, if that deer was meant to be our food, he'll come back again tomorrow. So don't kill now, let him go. See the philosophy there? And then, he said, what if it doesn't come tomorrow? He said, don't just trust. If he's going to be our food, it'll come. Next day, this deer comes there. They kill and eat. So the idea is to just, if you're going to kill somebody, eat for, kill for a purpose. And if you're going to eat something, eat for a purpose. How does it help in our life? To our minds or bodies. That's another.
Right, but I think if we are not warriors and if it is not a requirement, then idea is to do as less harm, as less violence as possible. I mean, not trying to be a fanatical, but the idea is that I should do less harm as much as possible. I think the time is up, so we'll see you next week, and we'll continue the discussion. We'll just end with a closing prayer. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Akashchit Dukham Arpane. Om Shanti 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 Hari.